Illinois Public Media. This is the 21st Show. I'm Brian Mackey. It's Friday, which means it's time for our reporter roundtable, where we talk about stories making headlines across the 21st state. Today, we'll be focusing on Champaign-Urbana. Joining us now to talk about stories in CU is Gabriella Morando, reporter for WCIA-TV. Gabriella, welcome to the 21st Show.
Thank you so much for having me. I'm excited to be here.
Happy to have you. And also with us is Emily Hayes, education reporter for our producing station, WILL Illinois Public Media. Emily, welcome back to the show to you.
Thank you so much.
Emily, let's start with higher education. The Illinois branch of the ACLU is asking the University of Illinois Urbana-Champaign to roll back some of its regulations on protesting. Say more about what's happening there.
So this was a new policy that was at least published in the summer. U of I says this is just clarifying their existing policy. But the ACLU says this has an appearance of being backlash to the spring protests by students for Gaza, where they camped out on the quad. The ACLU says this has also created new punishments, has prompted new punishments for students. For example, they say the Students for Environmental Concerns has been doing the same protest for 10 years, and this year they had punishments for doing the same thing that they've always done, even after they tried to take a look at the regulations and follow them. U of I says, you know, again, this is just longstanding policy that the Students for Environmental Concerns violated, like blocking pedestrian and motor traffic and using a bullhorn 50 feet from a building.
How does U of I compare with other universities? I know you've looked at some of these comparatively in terms of how it's responded to these protests, both, you know, regarding Israel and Gaza and Palestinians and other topics.
Yeah, so within Illinois, apparently the policies are pretty similar, according to ACLU, to private universities. But as a public university, it's pretty stands alone in the level of backlash. Champaign is also very unique in that it is pursuing felony charges against some protesters. That, as far as I know, is unique within Illinois.
Some of the Gaza protesters, although I guess we should point out that the university, for its part, we interviewed Provost Coleman earlier this, or I guess it was last year now in the summer, and said that, you know, the university has nothing to do with the charging decisions of the local prosecutor's office. I know that some people look at that and raise their eyebrows, but that is the that is what they say. All right, Gabriel, let me turn to you, because the U of I is sticking with the university. It's seeing a record number of first-year applicants. How is it preparing for this potential influx of students?
Yeah, I talked to admissions earlier this week, and they confirmed that they have a record number of first-year applicants for the fall 2025 season. Last year was a record-breaking freshman class, so earlier WCIA reported on some housing issues that they were seeing with so many students on campus. Both first-year students and second-year students were seeking on-campus housing. Now, first-year students are required to live in on-campus housing, or university housing, I should say, and so hypothetically, they should all have a spot. It's more so the upperclassmen that can sort of make housing issues an issue. So they are planning to cap the number of upperclassmen who can live in university-provided housing to hopefully accommodate every first year that is, you know, coming to the university. They can have a room, they can have a bed. But it'll be interesting to see. I mean, the university is growing in terms of numbers. So when I did talk to housing officials, they said that there are plans for more buildings and infrastructure on campus. They have no set timeline on that, but we should be expecting to see those coming in the soon.
Wow. Well, I was a student at the U of I in the previous century, and I was a four-year dorm student. So I guess I was maybe part of the problem, or I would be today. Emily, while we're on the subject of the U of I, the Board of Trustees has seen some personnel changes. Talk about what's happening there.
Yeah, so their previous chairman, Donald Edwards, was chair for 6 years, 1 year consecutive terms, and he stepped down in December, and they have voted to replace him with Jesse Ruiz, who was a deputy governor under J.B. Pritzker a few years back. And also, interestingly, he grew up in Chicago. One of his parents' visa expired when he was young. He's Mexican-American. And his first time at the U of I, he dropped out and went to work and go to community college, and then returned, did well, graduated, went to law school, and then became quite a figure in school boards, Chicago Public Schools, the State Board of Education. It really had a star-studded resume since then.
Interesting. And while we're on the Board of Trustees, they also approved a tuition increase for all the U of I universities. How much are people looking at paying? Because I guess it's just for new students because there is that four-year guarantee thing.
Exactly.
Yeah, go ahead.
So it is 2.2% at the University of Illinois Urbana-Champaign and University of Illinois Chicago, and 2% at the University of Illinois Springfield. The interesting thing I think about this is that this is the highest tuition increase in 10 years. The Board of Trustees froze tuition for 7 of those last 10 years, and the other increases were less than that. As I'm sure you can imagine, that is much less than inflation in that time. In the meeting yesterday, someone said that inflation has risen 30% in the last 10 years. So they say, you know, they had a commitment to not be the most expensive Big Ten school or the equivalents for each school anymore. And that's part of why they put pressure on President Tim Killeen to not raise tuition for all this time. But they say, you know, it's okay to now raise tuition by a little bit more.
Yeah. And I guess, you know, we'll see what happens with the state budget, but a lot of pressure there. And there could be some changes coming to university level funding, which has been on this secular decline, right? Two and a half decades now. Yeah. Go ahead.
One of the interesting other stories that I've been covering about this is that there's a bill in the legislature to increase higher education funding and divide it up by, you know, minority students and rural students. So that could dramatically change what higher education funding looks like in the future, but definitely not this year.
All right. Well, that is something we'll keep an eye on. Emily, one last education-related story, and that is a new magnet school coming to Decatur. Briefly, what can you tell us about that?
Yeah, so this is a school that is on the site of a former elementary school, former Oak Grove Elementary, and it will be opening in the fall. Construction is almost complete, as reported by my colleague Analika Achuba. The school will be named after Ellsworth Dansby Jr., who was one of the Tuskegee Airmen, the all-black unit in World War II. He was a pilot and master sergeant. And then when he came back from the war, he led a lot of civil rights movements within Decatur. He passed away in 1989 at the age of 79. And I went to a naming groundbreaking ceremony where his, I believe his son was there and was so thrilled that the school was going to be named after him.
All right, let me remind listeners, this is the 21st show. We are in the middle of our reporter roundtable where we focus on news in different communities around Illinois every week. This week we're talking about Urbana and Champaign. My guests are Emily Hayes, who's education reporter at Illinois Public Media, WILL, and Gabriella Miranda, who is a reporter at WCIA-TV in Central Illinois. Gabriella, a man has been arrested following a car crash that killed two people in Urbana. Normally, this would not be, you know, a story of widespread statewide interest or national interest as this story is becoming, but what can you tell us about what's happening with this case?
Yeah, this has been a story days in the making. So this past Sunday, we got an original press release from the Urbana Police Department saying that one car was stopped at a red light and another rammed into it from behind and injured all five passengers who were in that first car. Within that first press release, we learned that a 20-year-old woman died and the driver of the car who hit the first car fled on foot and police were still looking for them. So that was Sunday. On Monday, we got an updated release that a 21-year-old passenger also died as a result from her injuries in the crash, and there were still no arrests as of Monday. So Tuesday went by and we didn't hear anything, but on Wednesday we got a third release saying that the U.S. Marshals had located the driver of the car that hit the initial car. They stopped him in Texas. He was on a bus that was headed to Mexico. He was identified as a Mexican national living in Urbana. But on Thursday we had another release saying that that initial information of him being a Mexican national international living in the city was not correct. His name was an alias, and he was actually a citizen of Guatemala. So now he's facing charges for leaving the scene of a deadly crash and aggravated DUI resulting in death and reckless homicide. We still haven't heard the status of the three people who were injured in the crash, but that's sort of where it stands now. We were on the lookout yesterday if the Urbana Police Department was going to hold a press conference. That didn't end up happening, but we're sort of just waiting to see, you know, what comes next, both from federal and local authorities here.
Yeah, and I've already seen that Fox News has done a story on this, playing up, of course, his immigration status.
Mm-hmm.
So interesting. And I'm sure we will hear more about this story to come. You know, I guess on that point, because, you know, this is one of those things that sometimes local things happen. It's a local story, but then it gets blown up because of the who is involved. Gabriela, there is growing uncertainty across the state on how the Trump administration is going to, says it will conduct arrests and deportation of immigrants. What are some of the things you've heard from the local officials you've been talking to?
Yeah, well, like you said, this is a national story, something that impacts the entire country. We, of course, have national news within our broadcast, but the challenge with a huge overarching topic like immigration is to try and localize it to our viewers. Sometimes it helps them to connect with a story if they see a neighbor, a friend, a family member talking on camera, someone they just recognize from the community talking about an issue, rather than it just sort of being this overarching national issue, like I said. So I talked to the Champaign-Urbana Immigration Forum, an official from there. He said as of Tuesday that they had already had a pseudo ICE sighting within the Champaign-Urbana area. This comes after, of course, Donald Trump has made it clear that he's cracking down on immigration and has warned of mass arrests and deportations of illegal immigrants within the country. And we're starting to see those carried out across the country. But the person I talked to from the Immigration Forum said, you know, the false sighting, I think he used the word seeing things, of people are just so ramped up about this and people are frightened that sort of their mind is, you know, imagining these things that are happening in the community. And we haven't, of course, had any official sightings of ICE officials within the Champaign-Urbana area. But I talked to someone else from the Urbana School District, a Latino parent liaison, who said families are really coming to her concerned. They're putting together emergency plans for, you know, if a parent is taken or apprehended, what the future looks like for their children, what school district their children goes to, who their guardian becomes, their routine, writing all those down and having that in an area where someone can access it in a case where, you know, they're suddenly without one or both of their parents. And lastly, I talked to someone from the East Central Illinois Refugee Center here in Champaign. And she said they've been working on putting together Know Your Rights campaigns of, you know, if you are confronted by an ICE official, what you do have to say, what you don't have to say, and how to best conduct yourself in situations like this. So, again, we haven't seen any arrests or raids from immigration officials that I know of yet in Champaign-Urbana. We don't know if that's coming or not, but the fear of the looming effects of this across the country are definitely being felt here locally as well.
Yeah, and I've seen reporting out of Chicago that parents are keeping kids out of school mm-hmm. in some cases.
Just and that was something that actually the Urbana official, Urbana School District said, of parents taking their students to bigger cities for especially medical treatment. That's a concern that they're having of now they're just scared to go into places where they know, you know, immigration is on the horizon and, you know, potential federal agents are, you know, looking for people in those situations.
Hmm. All right, Emily, just briefly on this point, because we're running short on time, but Champaign and Urbana Police, I know you talk with them about how they will or will not work with federal immigration and customs enforcement agents.
That's right. In cases where there isn't a criminal warrant, where, you know, for example, your example was people were killed. If it's a regular traffic stop and they haven't done anything, it's just a civil violation, like tinted windows, for example, that will not escalate into an immigration issue. The Illinois Trust Act bars state and local police from enforcing immigration status, so they can't even ask what someone's immigration status is. Local police departments in Champaign County say that they are in lockstep in committing to that law. I went to an event last week. They were all emphatically emphasizing this. Yeah, some of the police chiefs even said, you know, we don't care about immigration status here in Champaign.
All right, let's talk about something a little more upbeat to end our conversation. Less than a minute left, but Gabriella, H Mart, people might not be familiar with this. It's a Korean company, Asian grocery store, opened in Urbana. This is the first downstate Illinois location. Pretty big deal for the people lining up, right?
Oh my gosh, people were thrilled. It felt like sort of a throwback Black Friday. I was there at the ribbon cutting and the opening ceremony, and after all the celebrations were over, people mobbed to the doors. There were, you know, employees telling people to get in lines and only, you know, a certain amount of people allowed in the store at a time. I talked to the president. He said this was the president of the company. He said this was sort of a natural transition from them of, you know, Chicago locations that people in Urbana and Champaign might be familiar with, but coming to a college town, he's hoping is really profitable and exciting to have the store in the community to not only benefit them, obviously, but the people in the diverse community living in the Champaign-Urbana area.
Yeah, lots of excitement for that. All right. Gabriella Miranda is a reporter at WCIA-TV. Emily Hayes is with Illinois Public Media. Thank you both for sharing your reporting with us today on the 21st Show.
Thank you. Pleasure to be here.
More coming up after the break. We are going to turn to politics and our Washington correspondent, Linda Kenyon. It has been quite a month in the past 5 days. We'll talk about that. This is the 21st Show. Stay with us.